And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. We pray, Lord, that the blessed Holy Spirit who gave this word of truth will enlighten our hearts to receive it and give us grace to practice it. Through Christ our Savior. Amen. We come today to the concluding portion of this book, 1 Thessalonians. So Paul ends this epistle by some random matters that he wanted to conclude before signing off on this epistle. But they all have one thing in common. They all have to do with sanctification, or leading a holy Christian life. Sanctification comes from the word sanctus, the Latin for holy. We have two words in English, holy, which comes from the Germanic, and sanctify and sanctuary, which come from the Latin. English is a combination of Anglo-Saxon and Norman French and Germanic, so that's why you can't spell it. Sanctification is a suitable topic at any time, but especially when we have Holy Communion, because this is a time when it's appropriate to take an inventory of how we are doing as followers of Jesus Christ. Let's begin in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. The first thing Paul addresses is attitude toward church officers. No matter how new a church was, and the Thessalonian church was very new, Paul always organized it with a regular government, ministers, elders, deacons. It's God's will that people always be under authority, whether family government, church government, or state government. Church officers are over people, not as lords over God's heritage, but as examples to the flock, as St. Peter said. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Warn the unruly. The word unruly is a military term. It means someone who cannot keep rank or follow the rules. In the military, if someone is unruly, he's warned, and if he doesn't straighten up, he goes to prison or he's kicked out. How it works in church, when somebody is warned or admonished, he goes down the street to another church. Thessalonians didn't have that option. Comfort the feeble-minded. This word doesn't mean what it means today. It doesn't mean mental deficiency. It means those who are faint-hearted. If you see someone who's downhearted, it's your duty to come alongside, to comfort and pray with them. Support the weak. This doesn't mean physically weak. It means the spiritually weak. Some people are weak in faith. They need encouragement. Be patient to all, not just fellow Christians, but to all. Now, that's not always easy. People can do all sorts of things to try your patience. But it is God's will that his people be a patient people. Isn't God a patient God? Isn't he patient with us? See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. This idea of non-retaliation is something that was practically unknown in the ancient world. It certainly was unknown to the heathen and to the Jews. They considered vengeance and getting even to be a duty. But Paul says the same thing in Romans 13. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Rejoice evermore. It seems everywhere Paul went, he suffered persecution and hardship. And yet there's this constant theme about Christians rejoicing. It's one of the most unusual things in the New Testament, is this emphasis upon Christian joy. St. Paul tells the Philippians, rejoice evermore, and again I say rejoice. Well, why should you rejoice evermore, aside from the fact that God tells you to? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You have so many present blessings to rejoice over. You can rejoice over the fact that God's in control and He's working all things in your life together for your good. And you can rejoice that in the future you have mansions of glory and ever delight. And that's closer every day. Pray without ceasing. Christian life should be a life of continual prayer. Now, you can't be on your knees praying all day, but you can be in a spirit of prayer all day. Pray when you wake up. Pray when you go about the most common duties of life. Maintain the presence of God, communion with Him. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God that you be a thankful person. Give thanks in everything. Give thanks in health. Give thanks on the bed of sickness. Give thanks when you have much. Give thanks when you have less. You know, praying without ceasing involves a lot of prayers of thanksgiving. I can honestly say that my days are filled with thanksgiving. I thank the Lord for every little thing. It keeps your heart in communion with Him, it keeps your heart joyful, and it keeps you grateful for God's goodness. Quench not the Spirit. You remember that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit appeared as cloven tongues of fire. And here Paul is characterizing the Spirit in you as fire. Now, fire can be put out. It can be quenched. He says, don't do it. You can quench the Spirit within you by bitterness, unforgiveness, unjustified anger, resentment. Keep the Holy Spirit burning and warming you with the love of God. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prophesying in the Bible is largely not telling the future. It's been said that it's not so much foretelling as forth-telling. Prophesying in Scripture is largely telling the will of God, whether by direct inspiration or by repeating inspiration, as I'm doing as a preacher. Rarely it is telling the future. There's Agabus in the book of Acts. But for the most part, it's the function that today we regard as preaching. It brings the will of God before you. Calvin said, by the term prophesying, I do not understand the gift of foretelling the future, but the science of interpreting Scripture, so that a prophet is an interpreter of the will of God. This is what preaching does today. Which means that going to church and sitting under the ministry of the Word is important. It's so important that we in the Reformed tradition make a large emphasis upon it. We have Sunday school for all ages. We have morning worship. We have evening worship. We have worship on Wednesday evening. You know, I raised my family morning, Sunday school, worship, evening worship, midweek worship, all their lives. And say, well, yeah, because you're a pastor. Well, I did that for 10 years before I was a pastor. The more you sit under the word, the more sanctification you receive. The more sanctification you receive, the greater will be your reward in eternity. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now, this is connected with the prophesying or preaching. Whatever is declared to be the will of God must be tested. And the way you test it is by the word of God. Like the Bereans who searched the scripture daily to see if these things were so. Is what Paul was preaching in Berea, does it line up with the Bible? If it does, it's true. If it doesn't, it isn't. Abstain from all appearance of evil. This is one of many texts in the Bible that is widely misunderstood. It doesn't mean abstain from things that look evil, even though they're not. It actually means every form of evil. And evil is disobedience to God's word. So abstain from everything, no matter what form it takes, that makes you disobey God's word. Sometimes that can be a very attractive form. It's still to be abstained from. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything Paul has told the church, or the Lord has told this church through Paul so far, are things you can't do in your own strength. Be patient to all men. Thankful for all things. Always joyful. Always in prayer. The only way you can do that is by the Spirit of God in His sanctifying work. And that's why Paul prays that God will do that in them. That God, the very God of peace, will sanctify you wholly. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful is the Lord who called you into fellowship with himself out of heathen darkness into his marvelous light, who also will do it. He'll do what? He will keep you holy in the whole person unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ on Judgment Day. Brethren, pray for us. Paul was one of the most anointed and gifted men of God in the history of the world. And yet, in almost all his epistles, he asked for people, ordinary church members, to pray for him. Now, you know, it's a minister's duty to pray for his people, and I pray for you. Men, women, children, everyone by name. But it's also the duty of church members to pray for their ministers. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. The equivalent in the ancient Near East of a hearty handshake, an affectionate one. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. This is a charge given to the minister, ordering him in the Lord to read this epistle to the Thessalonian church. And that's why I am reading it to you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Every epistle Paul wrote, he ends with this or a similar statement of grace. It's really a summary of the foundation of the Christian faith. God's grace, his unmerited favor, his undeserved goodness and love that he's showered upon us. Grace to save your soul from damnation, a free gift. You couldn't earn it. Grace to save you from the power of sin by his sanctifying work. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his body to be crucified for you, and his blood to be shed for you, so all your sins would be remitted forever. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we are always amazed at the goodness and grace of God. And we thank thee, Lord, for these instructions that show us what duty God requires of us. And we thank thee for the blessed presence of Jesus Christ in our spirits that gives us the ability to do this when we yield our hearts to him. Amen.